Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast. And joining me is my co-host, Stephen Kerr, 65 plus years in sports journalism between the two of us. Stephen, we had to drop this emergency show because there's Texans panic all around Houston with all the big names dropping while they've lost Jonathan Greenard, Devin Singletary, Blake Cashman, even punter Cam Johnston. On a scale of 10, where is your panic meter as we record this at 3:30 p.m.? Because it changes almost by the second.
Yeah, well, all right. I guess we're going back to 4-13 now and getting the number one draft pick, Robert. We might as well just, you know, face it. No, in all seriousness, I'm sure the viewers will forgive us if they notice we're constantly looking at our phones, because that's how quickly this thing is changing. But you asked me my panic meter, and I mean, I'm a little surprised we lost that many, especially that quickly. But here's what it does, Robert. I'd say it's about a 4 right now. What it does, I guess, is it gives the Texans an idea of the positions that they haven't signed yet. You know, what it gives them an idea of what they're looking at. But they have filled some of those positions, at least, since all this happened, even today. I mean, it's just coming at a breakneck pace here.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk about. And there's some things that the genie can't just be put in the bottle for. And we're going to get to that right off the bat, because the position everybody was hoping for a name recognized player was running back. Saquon Barkley, not signing with the Texans, signs with the Eagles for slightly more than 13 per year, a little more expensive than most thought. How close were the Texans? You would love to know. The Packers surprised everybody by releasing Aaron Jones and signing Josh Jacobs. So maybe Aaron Jones is a possibility for the Texans. I haven't heard anything as of this very second, but keep that name in mind. The Bears signed DeAndre Swift, a name that you and I talked about. 3 years, $24 million. The Titans signed Tony Pollard, another name. Aaron Wilson had Swift and Pollard as potential Texan targets. We talked about it last week. Didn't happen. Singletary signs with the Giants, so you lose Motor. 3 years, $16.5 million. You thought for sure he was coming back. Stephen, none of the contracts released have sounded exorbitant, like crazy numbers. You wonder how close the Texans were with some of these, you know, contract offers that they threw out there.
Yeah, it's hard to know until, you know, if somebody leaks something out, you know, that it may be a little concrete. But, you know, here's the thing, Robert. I mean, this is really no surprise. And a lot of this is kind of back and forth speculation about who's going where, who might go here, who might fit better here. And it's only the first day. And yeah, there's been a lot dropping. But I think, I mean, we were talking about some of those names on our list, you know, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, even Singletary. I mean, he was on my list of possibilities for the Texans to get him back. But there are always names that kind of jump at you that you go, wow, I didn't really think of this guy before. He wasn't on my list, but could step in, you know, when the season gets underway, might be somewhat of a surprise. And maybe that's the case with one of these running backs that the Texans do on, because I'm sure they're going to sign somebody, or any of the other positions that they've lost that they haven't signed yet.
A couple of things. We know they were interested in Barkley. We know they wanted to bring back Singletary. DeMeco gushed about Singletary at the combine. You know, it seemed like he was begging for Singletary to come back. The numbers weren't crazy for either guy, weren't too exorbitant. But I will say this, Stephen, the Barkley deal, it's 3 years, and he's a guy that's got injury issues. And I know the guarantee doesn't seem like a lot, and 3 years doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a running back, it's a second contract. We know where that goes.
Yeah, I was going to say, for running backs, I wouldn't give somebody like Saquon Barkley a three-year deal. Now, the last couple of years, you know, he bounced back from the injury that he had earlier. The last couple of years, he's put up good numbers. But as we know, Robert, and we've talked about this before, running backs have a much shorter shelf life than a lot of other positions. And to give a guy his second contract a three-year deal, I mean, you know, there are a lot of teams who would do that. But I don't see the Texans, or didn't see the Texans doing that, just, you know, from looking at their history and the way they've gone after free agents. And I guess DeMeco Ryans is now finding out that, despite the fact that he may think that a lot of free agents want to come there and play for the Texans, at the end of the day, it all boils down to who's got the best deal. And it's not necessarily the amount of money, but it's the terms that go along with it.
Yeah, before I go on, I also am going to mention that I will have a Rockets show later tonight because
more depressing news.
Yeah, that's another thing. The Shane Goon stuff has happened. I've got Frank with Rockets Chop Shop. Me and him are going to talk about that. Pretty sad there, but let's go back to the Texans. One of the guys they lost, Grenard, signs with the Vikings. 4 years, $76 million, roughly 19 per year. They could have franchised him for 21 per year. My thought there is franchise tag him, unless they were somehow shocked how high the Vikings contract was. Because, Steven, I just felt like, you know, if you franchise him at 21, you know, that's not anything big. And we know he's got a little bit of an injury history. We're not sure if he can put together a couple of years in a row. But it saves you the idea of going out and trying to find somebody. We're going to get to a guy that they did sign at defensive end. But, you know, going out and getting somebody that you don't know what they're going to do in the system. Whereas Grenard, we've had some idea of what he can do. And it's not just against the pass. It's against he's so good at in both skills. And he's still so young.
Yeah, and he's one of the big reasons the Texans were so much better against the run this past season than they were the season before and even the season before that. And yeah, if there was anybody I would say that the Texans would have franchise tagged, it would have been him based on some of the things that we talked about before when we were talking about the top free agents that they should go after or should resign is that, you know, his familiarity in the system and just the fact that he's finally coming into his own, you know, save the injury toward the end of the season. But, you know, now you've lost him and Cashman both on the same day. So now you're going to have two different guys stepping in who will have to learn the system and have to get comfortable. And I mean, it's not impossible, certainly, but it would have been nice to see at least one and certainly both of those guys back.
Yeah, they did find a decent replacement for Grenard. I'm going to talk about that in a second. Now, Cashman signs with the Vikings, 3 years, $25 million. So he joins Grenard up in Minnesota, $8 million per year. I'm more concerned with his injury history than Grenard's. There are still good options at linebacker, Steven. However, I was a big Cashman fan, and they better get a legit guy to fill that hole.
Yeah, they certainly should, because he was, again, he was another instrumental piece in that defense that looked so much better this year. So as I said, you're going to have to replace these guys and not know exactly what you're going to get until, well, of course, you don't know that with any player in any given season, but at least with somebody new coming in from the outside, you really have no idea until you get in training camp and then you get into the season.
Get in the comments. We want to hear what you guys think, and let's continue on with this because the thing that I might be shocked at the most is Casario lets Cam Johnston walk. He's such a special teams guy. It's been like the thing that he focuses on, you know, with the Texans and back to the Patriots being so good at that. Punters are not a major thing until you don't got a good one. Steven, remember when Johnston was out for 4 weeks?
Yes, sure do. And boy, did it make a difference. And I mean, it almost makes you wonder, Robert, do they have another plan that, you know, they're not saying anything about? Because yeah, it's very interesting. Cam Johnston, talk about a consistent guy. And it's not just the distance, but how many times he was able to nail it in great field position for the Texans, or, you know, poor field position for the opponent. I mean, he was so adept at both of those things. So now you got to wonder, all right, well, who are they going to put in to take that job? Who could even come close to doing the job that Cam Johnston did?
Yeah, he was consistent. He was reliable. He could get you out of trouble when you were backed up to the end zone, but he could also nail it inside the 20. I mean, just he was pretty much everything that you want from a punter. It wasn't like he was a consistent Pro Bowler, I guess, but still, I mean, just really good upper echelon, I would think, in the NFL. Now let's get to this, the guys that they did sign. The Texans signed 33-year-old defensive end Denico Autry, 2 years, $20 million. For now, this looks like the replacement for Grenard. Who's Denico Autry? He was with the Titans the last three seasons. If you don't know the name, 11.5 sacks last year. The last 2 years, he's had 19 sacks, 107 quarterback pressures, and an 11.1% pass rush win rate. Pretty solid stuff. He can also play defensive tackle, so some versatility there. They can move him inside if they get another pass rusher in free agency or in the draft, Steven. His Pro Football Focus grade, I'll throw out to close it out, was 70 over the last 3 years, although last year sloughed off a little bit down to 60, but it was about average of a 70 over three seasons with the Titans.
Yeah, I guess that's the one thing you do worry about a little bit, Robert, because he is a bit older than Grenard. And what did you say the deal was for him?
Just a couple of years for okay. $20 million, so 10 a year.
All right, so I feel a little better that it's 2 and not 3 years. I feel somewhat better with that. But hey, you got one out of your own division. That's always a coup if you can just steal somebody from the Titans. Yeah, that makes it nice and sweet there. But obviously, you still got to perform. And the versatility will certainly come in handy, depending on who else they bring in, either with free agency or with the draft. So there are some good things to like about him. But again, it's just you've got the unknown factor of not having Grenard back and not having that comfort factor. So we'll just see. But a two-year deal at 33 years old, I'd say that's probably in line.
Another name to keep in mind, and this guy, as you and I speak, has not signed with anybody. It was a surprise, sort of surprise cut. that the 49ers wanted to save some money with getting rid of Eric Armstead, defensive tackle. Him and D'Amico know each other real well, obviously, with D'Amico's days with the 49ers. I'm sure he likes Armstead a lot. Armstead's been really good. There's been some injuries. He's out there as we speak, so that might be somebody that, you know, if you combine the Armstead with the D'Amico Autry signings, Stephen, maybe that's better money spent than Grenard, depending on what you can get for Armstead.
Yeah, that's very true. And so that is another. I saw that name last night, Robert, and I immediately wrote it down to talk about on our next podcast. Now, obviously, I thought we were going to tape a day later than we are right now, but it was a name that jumped out at me, especially when I found out that he had played under D'Amico Ryans. So Ryans was certainly high on him. You would think that the Texans would have some interest. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see if anything happens. And wouldn't you know, I mean, as soon as we stop recording, something might happen. So who's to say?
Also, you have another signing at defensive tackle, Foley Fotokasi. After the Jags released him for salary reasons, bunch of success with the Jets under Robert Saleh. So the hope is D'Amico and Saleh, same background, similar system. So maybe he could return to form, Stephen, because he was really good before he was with the Jets. I mean, his numbers were, the grades were like really good as far as Pro Football Focus. And he was considered a really good guy for the Jets.
Well, you know, again, some of that is in the coaching, Robert, and perhaps, you know, the Texans coaches can get him back to where he was. So that's again, that's what you hope. You know, I'm just trying to keep up here with it's just such a flurry coming here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're looking as we're talking at the same time. The good news is, I mean, defensive tackle, you add him and they also re-sign Khalil Davis. So that's a guy that was a good rotation player for the Texans, did a really nice job last year. The other guys they re-signed, safety Eric Murray. Yeah. Kicker Kaimi Fairbairn and cornerback Desmond King. Nobody can argue with Davis, Fairbairn, and King. I think those are universally liked by Texans fans, the job that they did. They're not expensive. Stephen, Murray's been solid when he's healthy. I saw people going nuts over the Murray signing. I haven't seen the numbers, and unless they're really bizarre, you know, he's just good depth to have, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what you're looking at right now. And if he can get healthy and, you know, be more consistently in the lineup, maybe he can provide you more than just depth. So I am glad that they signed him. And of course, Khalil Davis, he, toward the end of the season, he started coming on and looking good. Now, how big is the Kaimi Fairbairn signing now that Cam Johnston has gone? I mean, think about it, Robert. If you'd lost both Johnston and Fairbairn, you'd be starting your special teams all over, at least as far as your kickers were concerned. So at least you got one out of two there.
Yes, and the other thing when you look at the defensive line, because we talked about the Khalil Davis signing and Fotokasi and everything that's going on, the potential Armstead. But they also lost out on Christian Wilkins. That was a guy that we thought they would be targeting, but man, he was expensive. That's a, you know, high 20s per year contract the Raiders got him for. Stephen, I don't know if that's worth it, to be honest.
I'm not sure it is either, Robert. And look, I know, you know, if you're a Texans fan and if you know that the Texans have some salary cap room to spare and, you know, can make maybe fork over a deal or two of a big splash like that, I mean, it's always tempting to think about that. But obviously, we're not in the front office and we're not making those decisions. So until you see otherwise, you kind of have to trust what the brass is doing in maybe not spending that kind of money on a Christian Wilkins or, you know, some of these other guys that we've just talked about.
Yeah, the other thing, Stephen, I think fans get caught up in these big splash names, but Caserio seems to have like a value on particular players and on particular positions. It reminds me of Daryl Morey. And he's just like, I'm not going to go beyond that unless it's for a guy that's going to carry me to actual wins. Like, of course, like a CJ Stroud can do. Of course, we don't have to worry about, you know, paying him big money, but the guys that actually mean something as wins, because in the NFL with this 17 game season, depth is such a big deal. And I think Caserio would just rather like, hey, let me get as many really solid guys as I can, as opposed to making these big splash moves. Because I mean, they had something on the teams that really spent a lot in free agency, Stephen, over the last few years. And you don't want to be any of those teams. Let me just tell you, I forgot all the names, but you know, the teams like the Jets and some other teams like that, they were the ones that spent in free agency and didn't go real well.
Well, you know what? You could probably look at that through all the major sports, because all the major pro sports have free agency now, and say that. And that's why I say that, you know, sometimes you've got to trust your brass in the front office to make those decisions, because look at, you know, there are several players the Texans have signed to one-year deals that, you know, were kind of off the junk heap, or maybe they've been injured and trying to bounce back and have a prove year, you know, that they could still do it. And some of those guys panned out. So it, again, and that's probably what you're going to see with some of that. You're going to see some more one-year deals, or maybe guys that, you know, aren't going to be the big splash. You're going to settle for a little bit less, but could come in and help you at least for this coming season. And then after that season's over, you kind of go back and do it again.
Caserio also added ex-Falcons cornerback Jeff Okuda on a one-year, $6 million deal.
Yeah.
Now it's $6 million max. It's, you know, part of that. It's only partially guaranteed. Okuda was the third pick in the draft in 2020. So this is a guy that had super potential coming out. He's had a ton of injuries, though. Hamstring, shoulder, groin, along with a serious torn Achilles 3 years ago. It's limited to him to just 38 of 66 potential games in four seasons. Steven, this is basically a roll of the dice. Caserio, you know, putting a lot into guys that are injured at cornerback when you look at Okuda and, of course, Stingley.
Yeah, certainly true. And I mean, I guess it emphasizes what I just said about, you know, some of these guys that coming off injuries or maybe just had down years. But, you know, 1 year and, yeah, $6 million for him. I don't know. It seems like a little bit high, but maybe not. And again, it just, you kind of take the low chance. And if it doesn't work out, then it's not a really high risk.
Yeah. And the other part about, you know, the cornerback situation is we're still waiting for Steven Nelson and, you know, the potential that he could re-sign. And I haven't seen anything of rumor on Nelson at this point as you and I speak. So, you know, let's see what happens with Steven Nelson. Maybe they can potentially bring him back. I'm looking right now just to be double check because it's a mile a minute. I've also got something breaking as we're talking that I'm going to get to that's real interesting from the Texans. I just got an email from the Texans, a statement regarding one of their players from last year. So let me just finish up with the guys that they did sign in free agency to this point. The last guy I want to mention is cornerback Lonnie Johnson, who's returning to the Texans. You guys remember him, former second round pick under Bill O'Brien. Really good special teams player and a depth piece the last couple of seasons. In his 287 defensive snaps the last 2 years after he left Houston, his Pro Football Focus grade was a very solid 64, much better than when he was with the Texans. Maybe some better coaching, maybe some better defenses. But the big thing is, I think this is mostly just, you know, second, third string depth in the secondary and a special teams guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely for depth purposes. But, you know, you think about, you got Desmond King back midseason last year and the contributions he made. And so that's, you know, some of these guys might come back and it may actually be a little better than when they left. And, you know, again, that's the case here. And what coach did you say he played under when he was here the first time with the Texans?
Oh, he was O'Brien to start with, but then I think he went into the next Cully administration before
see,
he left.
That proves my point right there.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if he can give you something. Maybe you can bring him in at times as a cornerback. He's going to be some depth right there. Like I said, this just breaking. Some people, I'm sure, will have seen this by the time we get this out, but it's a big story. There is a statement from the Texans and from defensive end Dylan Horton. On December 1st of last year, I was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. Through God's grace, I'm blessed to say that I'm currently in remission. I am grateful for the love from my family and friends and support from the Texans organization and my doctors. My next objective is to complete my treatments and get back to playing the game that I love. Thank you for your prayers and support as I continue this journey, unquote. And Stephen, we remember that Horton left for personal reasons. I thought maybe it was something mental. Maybe there was something physical. Now we find out the real story. And that's back-to-back drafts that the Texans have drafted a guy that after they got him has developed lymphoma cancer. And luckily he's in remission. And of course, John Metchie's in remission.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, before that, Quisenberry, you know, he was diagnosed with it. So yeah, unfortunately it seems to be a bit of a pattern with the Texans, but you know, those are the guys that you always root for. You know, we certainly rooted for Metchie when he came back. And yeah, I know he struggled, but he's still trying to find his way. But as far as Dylan Horton, and in fact, I just saw that, Robert, about the same time that you got it. I was just about to mention that. So again, if he can come back and have some semblance of, you know, a season, then there's another depth piece for you that you could consider.
Another guy that, you know, as we speak out there, Zach Moss, another running back.
Right.
That's a potential Texans target. Aaron Wilson says the Texans have interest in him. The Titans, Packers, and Browns do as well. The Titans, of course, have already signed Tony Pollard. The Packers have already signed Jacobs, but they released their other running back, as we just mentioned. So, you know, that seems like it's a pretty good potential that the Texans are in on him as somebody that can help. But right now, the only guy of note that the Texans have at running back is Damian Pierce.
Yeah, and that's something you kind of have to worry about because, as we've said on this podcast before, what Damian Pierce are you getting next season? Are you getting the Damian Pierce in his rookie season, or are you getting the Damian Pierce that was just a huge disappointment and about the only life he showed was at the very end of the season when he was on kick return? So you don't know. And as we are talking, and of course we have to say this every time, Robert, because as soon as we stop, it will be totally different perhaps. Isn't Derrick Henry still on the board?
Derrick Henry is on the board. The last rumor over the last 24 hours or so on Henry is that he would be with the Ravens, but that has not dropped yet. Schefter hasn't mentioned it. Aaron Wilson, yeah. None of the guys that, you know, we trust on this have dropped that information. So I don't know what's going on with Henry, but I assume something's going to happen with him pretty quick because, you know, there's not many options. You know, it's like a musical chairs, and at some point, right. He's going to have to make a decision between the teams that are interested in him, because with every guy that falls, you know what the situation is. It's like once another guy falls and goes to another team, well, that takes away another option for Henry.
Well, that's right. And that's, you know, the players have to think about that too. You know, it's kind of like a chess match. Is it one team makes a move, then a player has to make a move, you know? And so that's why it's so interesting. And it's like, the board is definitely, the pieces are flying right now. I have not felt from the beginning. I know we talked about Derrick Henry on our top five running backs, Robert, but I haven't gotten the sense all along that he's going to be with the Texans. And as you just mentioned, you know, some of the other teams that are in play, I guess, kind of backs that up. And, you know, until, of course, he signs with somebody, you never know.
As we speak, this is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about running back, of course, because it's Pearson, that's it. I'm worried about linebacker because it's Christian Harris and not much else at linebacker at this point. And then I'm still worried about the secondary because Okuda's got an injury history. The other guys are just, it's just guys. You know, you don't have Nelson inked up yet. You're worried about the safety position. Jimmy Ward always gets hurt. Petrie didn't look good. Eric Murray, though, is at least it makes me feel a little bit better. I know Eric Murray is not popular, but I thought he was better than Jalen Petrie. I mean, let's be honest.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is kind of a roller coaster of emotions, Robert, when you hear a guy signing that you really wanted, and then you get a guy that you maybe, you didn't not want, but you weren't exactly looking for him. So we're going to go through this for a little while if you're a Texans fan. And, you know, once the dust settles and you can take a really hard look at everybody, then the Texans will certainly know where are they going to go as far as the draft and how they're going to center that. So that's kind of what you have to keep in mind is, this is like a pendulum going back and forth and back and forth. And this is only the first day, mind you, but a lot of the big pieces are falling the first day. So it kind of gets a little more or a little less dramatic as the days go on. And that's when you're going to see some of these guys that whose name maybe you didn't hear about, or, it could be somebody that you thought was going to sign earlier that's dropped a little bit, kind of like in the draft that maybe the Texans could steal. So there is that to think about.
Yeah. A lot of those lower end free agents are the ones that the Texans had success with last year. And the Devin Singletary's, we remember him. I don't think he was somebody that was quickly off the board last year in free agency. And some of the other moves that Caserio made that everybody looks back on, the Sheldon Rankins and et cetera, et cetera, that people were excited about, that they got them at value. And maybe they weren't excited at the time, but I think you saw what happened this year. The Texans were just a couple of games away from the Super Bowl. Let's remember that, Stephen. So he must have done something right last year.
Yeah, he absolutely must. And again, and that's kind of why I'm saying, I think that's what the Texans approach is and has been. You know, if you look back at their history, and we talked about that a little bit, that, you're wanting to get the guys that maybe they need a really good season to get a better contract, probably somewhere else, or they're coming off an injury. You hope that some of those guys you're going to swing and make contact and they'll help the Texans. And that's, I think, what you're looking at again this year.
Absolutely. And just a little house cleaning at the end. I want to remind everybody one more time. We're going to talk Rockets, Şengün later tonight. Look for it for sure. More than just Şengün, other Rockets stuff, but definitely should be good stuff with Frank, as it always is. One of the most knowledgeable guys in the Rockets social media community and basically in the Rockets community, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the Chop Shop guy, right?
Yeah, Rockets Chop Shop. And also look for our Houston Sports History playlist, 200 different interviews from different classic Houston sports figures. You'll see me scrolling that at the bottom of the screen throughout. And it's just great interviews that we've had over the years. You know, you might run into a Calvin Murphy or a Chucky Brown who won the championship. You've got tributes to Biggio, Bagwell, Andre Johnson, Nolan Ryan. I mean, there's just so much good stuff in there. You can listen to that anytime if you're, bored at work and you just want, hey, I want to remember one of my favorite Houston sports teams and see if Robert's done an interview with that particular guy or somebody about that team. Just check it out. Steven's doing great work. Just got a nice little promotion, right? Steven doing a little hockey work, right?
Yeah, I love hockey. I mean, baseball and hockey are my sports. Now, of course, I love football and basketball. I keep up with the Texans and, Rockets along with the Astros. But hockey, and I'm sorry, Houston fans. I know that, there is this little sore spot when it comes to Big D. But Houston doesn't have a hockey team, so that's my excuse. I'm now the co-editor for the Hockey News Dallas Stars team site. So I get to cover the Dallas Stars, mostly remotely, of course, since I live here in the Austin area. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun and love covering hockey. And there's a lot going on too. The NHL trade deadline just came and went, and the season is nearing its end, and then the postseason starts. So got my hands full with that. And then today, of course, with NFL free agency, Robert, I'm kind of stopping in the middle to jump on with you and do this podcast. So it's great that I can do that. And we can talk about some of these moves that the Texans did and didn't make today.
Yeah. And with all the names bouncing around, by the way, another running back that is not signed, last I saw, just a guy to keep in mind. Remember Austin Eckler?
Yep. Steven? Yep. We talked about him, I think, on, I don't think he was in our top five, but we did mention him.
Yeah. And he might be one of those guys that needs a prove it year after last year. I don't know. That's interesting that he's just, you know, there's not much conversation just a few hours into free agency about a guy that, you know, going into last year, I would say everybody would have thought at the end of the year, he would be one of the more valued free agents for sure.
Yep.
And I don't know. That's interesting. And also we didn't mention, you know, some of the signings around the NFL and teams that, you know, made interesting moves. And I would say I am particularly glad that we are not the Atlanta Falcons and that we did not drop a 4-year, $45 million a year contract to Kirk Cousins, $100 million locked in on just, you know, a slightly above average quarterback, I'll just say.
Who's coming back from an injury, no less. And yeah, that's a very interesting transaction there, Robert. And you kind of, you know, if you're a Falcons fan, you hope it doesn't blow up the way Russell Wilson did with the Denver Broncos. And of course, we know that, you know, he was released and he signed with the Steelers. So yeah, Kirk Cousins, that is a lot of money to pay somebody like Kirk Cousins, who, as you said, below average, coming back from an injury. And just, you know, with the Vikings, I mean, he had some good moments, but not the kind of guy I would throw that kind of money to.
We are going to talk more about the Texans free agency either later this week or soon. I'm assuming there's going to be some moves that me and Stephen are going to want to talk about later this week.
Oh, I'm sure there will be.
And then the Astros as well. Spring training's going on, so we'll get into that. The U of H is, you know, about ready to go to the tournament. So a lot of good stuff there. Great weekend for them. They probably had the best weekend of any Houston sports franchise this past weekend. But anyway, we'll catch you guys later. Thanks for joining us and getting those comments. Want to hear from you.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.